Hallelujah. I hope you're going to be encouraged this morning. And I just want to turn in scripture to Philippians 4:8. Go, God, go in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Holy Spirit, have your way this morning. It says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any moral excellence and if there is anything praiseworthy, dwell on these things. And so I want to talk about a subject, you know, that I don't hear talked about even in my own sermons and what the Lord lays on my heart, but today was very clear. The Lord wanted me to talk about this subject. And I just want to say before I begin that you know, we are in a society that we are information overloaded. So information received, and there's a lot of people that want you to receive certain information, because information that you receive, whether that's from a trainer, a teacher, a coach, a pastor, your classroom teacher, your parents, the news, TV, movies, blogs, whatever information you receive, it's to change your perception. So information received changes our perception, and then our perception is what influences your behavior. So you got to be careful of your information sources. Here's a trusted information source. It's called the Bible. It's tried and true. There's no parts of it that are true. It's all true. Whether that fits into my understanding or not, it's all truth. It is good and solid food to eat. It is the foundation by which I should build my life upon. It should formulate a whole society, nations, hemispheres, the world, the nations collectively's lifestyle. And with that, I'm going to kind of, I want to talk about something that we got to give ourselves permission to talk about, and that's heaven. I'll talk about heaven this morning. When I was 7 years old, I just told this story Thursday at the School of Healing from a question that was asked. And I felt like the Lord said, you know, I want you to share it. I don't share it much. But when I was 7 years old, I was playing with little toy soldiers on my bedroom floor, and they were plastic. And, you know, I was in my element, and all of a sudden a man walked into my room at a small cottage-style house, never heard him coming, and all of a sudden he just walked into my room, sat on the edge of my bed, the end of my bed, sat there, and I looked at him, and I looked back, and I was startled, and I looked back thinking, wow, is that guy real? Where'd he come from? And he's sitting there, and I could see the indentation of the end of the bed, and he's a big guy, and today, now being an adult, looking back, he would have been about 7-8 foot tall, very commanding, you know, real built and athletic build, and sitting there. And he said, David, I want to take you somewhere. And I thought it was my dad's friend I never met. I thought he was visiting the family rallies or my mom or, you know, something. He must have been, because there was just this exuding amount of peace surrounding this man. This man was so gentle and so kind, and so I said, yeah. And immediately when I said, yeah, I was in a place what I would call heaven. And I'm flying in with him, and we land like you see Mary Poppins landing, bing, bing, you know, kind of like on the grass. And when I step on the grass, color exudes off the grass, and music is, I'm listening to music as I'm walking, and it's this lush grass. And when I've come in, when I've looked down, I can see that it's undulating hill, it's mountainous, there's flat bits, it's green as green can be, but it's the colors that I cannot describe to you. There's color that I wish I could find color to show you what it was. The vibrancy. And so he begins to show me, and I see countryside houses, I see rural living, I see houses on acreage, I see bird life, I see a lot of horses, and I see cities. I see city groupings, and we walk through, and we're kind of in what I would calls, you know, an estate or a development, kind of a suburbia thing. And he shows me some more things. Everything is bright and light. It is the most joyous, you know, elated. I've never felt anything like it on earth, ever. Total at peace, total at rest. People conversing, people doing different things. And then he says, okay, it's time to go. Some other things happen, which I'm not going to share. We come back, and I'm walking in my hall. We didn't even walk in my front door. We're walking in my hall, and I go in first, and I turn to say something to him. He is gone. So I go into my mother. I am like, you know, who is that man? Who's this guy? What man? What guy? And so that was my first, you know, spiritual encounter with the heavenly invading my space, 7 years old. There was a whole kind of course set in my life, a journey. I'd been saved when I was 5, baptized the Holy Spirit at 6. I started to lay hands and pray at altar ministry when I was 6 years old. The priest had, you know, kind of earmarked that there was an anointing on my life, asked my mom, my dad wasn't saved, if I could be part of the prayer team. And you know, I'd seen, you know, demonic come out of people. We saw amazing healings, saw lame walk, people out of wheelchairs, blind see. And that was kind of my grid. But I never had, an angelic visitation up until that point. Now, I'm not here to say that everybody has to have one. You can desire one. That's fine. We don't worship angels. We worship Jesus. Now, I've said angels 3 times. You know, someone's going to say, oh, Fenton's worshiping angels because he said angel, angel, angel. You know, it's like if we say Israel, 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 but people start looking for the yarmulke and, you know, the Israeli flag will be draped on me. You know, we can't say it, you know, more than once because we're just overemphasizing. Angel, angel, angel. You know, anyway. So you get my drift. But in 2 Corinthians 12:2, it says this: I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago, whether in the body, I do not know, or whether out of the body, I do not know. God knows such a one was caught up to the third heaven. You got to ask yourself a couple questions reading that portion of Scripture. I mean, Jesus talked on heaven. You know, scripturally, there's about 60-something scriptures about his first coming. There's about 150 scriptures about his second coming. You do your research in that. Jesus talks about heaven, but interestingly, he talks twice as much on hell as he does heaven. No, we don't want to. Hurry, hurry, Fenton. Get on another subject. Stop saying hell. Hell, hell, hell. Right? Oh, he's overemphasizing. He said 3 times in a sermon. I want them to be positive. Well, let's talk about heaven, heaven, heaven. Do we think about heaven? Do you let yourself talk about the heavenly realm? Do you let yourself think about that, dwell on, muse on, meditate on heavenly things? You know, do you have a concept that there's little fat cherubs that are spray-painted gold with little wings with some harps that are out of tune or only have 2 strings? How does that work? And, you know, that's what you're going to become? You're going to become an angel? I don't think so. That's not what Scripture says. Everyone's waiting like, I don't know, is that our theology? I don't know, I didn't read the Scripture. You know what I mean? What do we believe, Dave? You know, read the Bible yourself. Read the Bible yourself. But Paul is, you know, the writer of 1 and 2 Corinthians. It's definitely Paul he's talking about. He's talking about himself in third person because he's talking about, if you read 11 and 12, he's saying, I don't want to boast. He's boasting, but there's a limit. He's, you know, he's talking about these things, but he's trying to remove himself from being the focal point. He's talking about the godly things that the Corinthians need to be aware of and the church later that follows after, you know, the writings. When he says the third heaven, you got to ask yourself, well, there must be a second and first. You can't just have three. You can't just say, well, I'm at the third level. How'd you get the third level? Did you walk up the first and second flights, or did you take the elevator up? It doesn't say anything about 4, 5, 6, or the 22nd layer of the intergalactic place of heaven. It doesn't say that. You might have been there, but it ain't in Scripture. I'm just kidding. There's no intergalactic level 22 of heaven, okay? Just relax. Everyone's like, write that down. I might just, you know. Right? So there's first heaven, second heaven, third heaven. And we see where there's two men that were taken by the Lord and were not brought back. Be careful what you want. Be careful how close you are, hey? In your prayer life. Oh, you know what? Can you imagine? Yeah, take me. Whoop, gone, you know. He was, and then he was not. Genesis chapter 4, 17. And then you got, you know, Elijah, who was taken up in a whirlwind. Amazingly, here he goes. Right? Elisha gets the mantle because he was there, and that was the prerequisite. 2 Kings 2, 3 through 9. But the first heaven, can I submit to you, you can read in Scripture, Genesis 1, 8, Genesis 7, 11, that it's the atmosphere around the earth. Can I say it's the first heaven is earth. Here's the first heaven. The arena, the windows of heaven, it says opened up. That's the arena that we're talking about, the first heaven. The second heaven is like the outer space. It's the planets. It's the Milky Way. And we can see that in Genesis 1, 1. Amazingly, you know, it's plural, the heavens, you know. And the third heaven is where the dwelling place of God, Revelation 16, Revelation 19, you can read about that. And Ezekiel, who was an amazing prophet, a drama king, I call him, because he's doing all sorts of stuff outworking prophetically. He has to do action, and that represents what God is trying to say or convey to humanity. If you read in Ezekiel 1, Ezekiel has an amazing, you know, vision that he sees into the realm of heaven. Now, don't raise your hand, but here I'm here to tell you that you might have had heavenly encounter or have shown things in the spirit, and I'm here to tell you you're not nuts. Now, being opened, your spirit being open to see in the spirit, or whether you were taking there physically, there must be a multi-layered heaven, and also humanity must be able to go there, because Paul says, in the body or out of the body, I don't know. It's so real. He's not sure if he's there physically or just a spirit man. Now, a lot of people get freaked out about the spirit, but that's crazy to me, because you're a spirit having a body experience. You're not a body having a spiritual experience. You're not trying to, you know, fit some spiritual experience to your personality traits. You're a spirit. You're a tripartite being, body, soul, and spirit. And you're born again in Christ. Your spirit comes alive in Christ at salvation. Hallelujah. And your spirit is awakened alive, can I say, to him and everything that's of and from him. We read the word by the Holy Spirit giving us understanding. It's the Holy Spirit, the living Spirit of God, that gave men to write that and give that to us in the Hebrew and the Greek, and then translated to Latin and then in English. How many are thankful for that? How many believe it's totally the Word of God? Amen. Then you're a spirit believer. You can't separate that Holy Spirit wrote that book. It's a mathematical impossibility for that Bible to line up like it does numerically. Chapters and verses. It's absolutely amazing. And so in the book of Revelation, so you got Ezekiel 8:3. Remember, Ezekiel was suspended by his hair in between heaven and earth. Ezekiel 8:3. That's nobody's wish today, I'm sure, but it happened to Ezekiel. John chapter 1, we see a door is open in Revelation chapter 4. A door is open, and John on the Isle of Patmos, in his later life, is asked to come up. He's invited to come up and see the things that will transpire, take place. Now, we believe by the Spirit of God, by the Holy Spirit giving John what he would see, we believe that's truth. How many believe the book of Revelation is truth? I got news for you. It was done because a spiritual door was open and a man was brought up into it. God wants to catch us up, can I say? He wants us to be uploaded to see where we really sit, because we sit in Christ in heavenly places with him. And we live such at a base ground level that we live at this amazing, you know, horizontal level that my hangnail and my flat tire and my my in-laws or my outlaws or whatever you know, circumstance, my lack of money, my lack of education, my too much, I'm too overqualified, I can't get a job, I'm underqualified. You know, we let this bother and we dwell on these things. What if we let our spirit start to dwell on some heavenly things? To rejoice. My consolation to see my mother again is my belief in the living God, who says, in a twinkling of an eye, hallelujah, twinkling of an eye, they'll be raised. The dead first be raised, hallelujah, in him. So heaven in John 14, 1 through 3, read it. It's a real place. Says this, do not let your hearts be what? Troubled. How many are troubled in your heart? Then start to think about some heavenly things and get out of trouble. Trust in God. Trust also in me. This is Jesus. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. Jesus calls heaven a real place. In Revelation 21, it's called this enormous city to house all the inhabitants. In the next verse in Revelation 21, I'm talking about Revelation 21, 20, and 21, it talks about it's a country, is the language that's translated. The second thing is that God's throne is there. There's angels that are there. The Lord Jesus sits on the right hand of the Father, ever living to make intercession. But he's also in our hearts for those that have accepted and called upon him to be our Savior. Our citizenship is there, it says. Do you know you're a citizen of heaven if you're saved? Do you know that it totally negates our hold on to natural citizenship? That's not the important thing. Our citizenship is in heaven. God wants to pass out more citizenships. Yes. The price or the cost is to receive his blood and his body. Hallelujah. To call upon the name of the Lord to be saved. Philippians 3:20 tells you your citizenship is there in heaven. How about Hebrews 12, verse 2? Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. Titus 2:13 says, Jesus is our blessed hope. There is no other. Hallelujah. I want to go to heaven because Jesus dwells there. I want to go to heaven because the Heavenly Father's there and the Spirit of the living God. You know, that's my end game. That's my end result, to live forever where he is. But the thing is that he's going to make a new heaven and earth. How about that? We're going to see, you know, this amazing heaven get an upscale. You know, there's going to be a new heaven and earth. Have you thought about that? What are you going to be doing in heaven? You going to be that fat spray-painted cherub? Or is there a destiny that you're actually having the ability to work out the calling of God, that's your earthly calling, that actually transports you to your heavenly calling? I think there's just going to be an unfolding of God in the revelation. How can you exhaust God? Do you think when you get to heaven, God's just going to become boring? You're going to know everything? I don't think so. I think you're going to ever be learning about him, because you can't exhaust the knowledge of God. Hebrews 12, 22 and 24 says, but you have come to Mount Zion, to the heavenly Jerusalem, the city of the living God. You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly, to the church of the firstborn, whose names are written in heaven. You have come to God, the judge of all, men and to the spirits of righteous men, made perfect to Jesus, mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood of that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. That word that says come, you have come, means to come near. It means that you have approached closely. We're approaching closely the day where we'll live in this realm and our eyes won't be kind of veiled. Hallelujah. And if you've had those, you know, cherished ones in your family or friends that have died in Christ, they await. They await our arrival. Let's pray our ticket doesn't say today. God knows our time. God knows our season. You know, we don't want to waste our and wish our life away. There are things for us to do here. You know, after I got healed when I was 28, I died of a thing called pancreatitis. We talk about pancreatic cancer. Anything with a pancreas, I can tell you, is not fun. It is one of the most painful, if it, it is the most painful thing I've ever been through. And God miraculously healed me. But I had a death wish. I stood before the Lord at 28. There's an angel in front of me. And, you know, he's saying, you can stay, but it'd be best if you go back. And I'm like, I want to go back, but I want to know why. And another angel comes from behind him. His eyes are like 50-cent piece or bigger fire. And it says, because you house the fire of God. But can I tell you, everybody that has Christ, he's a living God. He's an all-consuming fire. You house the fire of God. Amen. The fire of heaven is in your bones and in your spirit. Sometimes you got to remind yourself, because we got information overload and our perception has changed and then our behavior has changed and we don't live like you got the fire of God in us. God wants you to release the fire from heaven that's in your life to combust some people that are very dry in your life. Dry timber. You say, this is so dry. Awesome. We are in the position of amazing revival. If your wood is dry, you'll combust really quick. It's hard to, light, wet wood. I haven't met too many wet ones out there that don't know Jesus. They're wet. They're doing a few of these. Hey. That ain't going to help them. We've been brought near, hallelujah, to heavenly realities. Here in Matthew 17, people ask me, can you get visited? I guess so. It's scriptural. Jesus did. Matthew 17, he got visited. Moses and Elijah go and they talk with Jesus. Peter, James, and John are there and they want to build an altar. They get all excited about the moment, about the spiritual experience. Let's just stay here for the rest of our life. This is amazing. Frigging awesome. Jesus says, dude, we got to get down the mountain. We got stuff to do. So we're not endorsing staying around a spiritual experience. You get a spiritual experience outside of Jesus, you just went into witchcraft. Be careful what you're wanting. You want Jesus. He's the hope. Hallelujah. Titus. Amen. Just read it. Keep your eyes on Jesus. If he wants you to have an experience, you ain't going to stop Moses visiting you. You're not going to stop the moment. But it can happen. God can bring heaven invading earth. We pray it. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Careful. You might set yourself up some amazing spiritual experiences to know Jesus better. Ephesians 1:17. He says that Paul prays for the church in Ephesus. Says, hey, I pray that you would grow in the spirit of wisdom and revelation that you may know Jesus better. Yes. It's not so you know spiritual experiences better. We don't need Christian psychics. We got enough of them. We need people that are real prophetic and walking in the Holy Ghost. We need people to submit the soul to the leading of the Spirit. But we got to be spiritual minded, y'all. We got to fire up a little bit and stop just letting things coast. I don't care if you like the beard. I don't care if you like the preaching. I don't care if you like it or not. It's what we got. Hebrews 12:1, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, well, can they see us? Maybe. Can they see us all the time? God, I hope not. I don't know. But there's a cloud of witnesses. And your loved ones go join the cloud of witnesses. It actually follows on from Hebrews 11, the hall of faith. He's talking about all the patriarchs that live by faith. And he's talking about it forms a cloud. There's witnesses of what's transpiring. Witnesses of those that lived out by faith. What's in heaven? God's dwelling place. Psalm 33:13. Christ is in heaven right today, Acts 1:11. It's where Christians go after they die, Philippians 1:21, 2 Corinthians 5:7 and 8. The Father's house is there, John 14:2. It says there's a city designed by God who built that city, Hebrews 11:10. It's a better country, praise the Lord, Hebrews 11:6. And it's called paradise in Luke chapter 23, 43. Revelation 21, it's not just a nice Sunday school, you know, adage that some nice lady, Mrs. Brown, Mrs. White, Mrs. Smith, a lot of the Sunday school teachers, you know, was basic names. But anyway, but it says the streets are paved with gold. You read Revelation 21. It says that there's gates made of pearl. It says the walls are made of precious jewels. I love how the thing we run after, the thing that we need gold, precious jewels. We need those, you know, amazing vital elements and items. They're just common building, construction elements in heaven. It's multicolored. You read the facets and the jewels and the color and what they're made of. Amazing splendor in heaven. It says in Revelation 22, there's a river that flows from the throne of God, goes through the Lamb, through the middle of the city. And it says there must be trees in heaven because it says there's trees on either side of the bank of the river. There must be months because it says there's 12 fruit and they produce for 12 months. So there's some time that we can understand. There's months in heaven. Do you ever think about that? It says so in Scripture. Are you consuming your thoughts with what you can't do, what you can't change, what the enemy says you are and how you're going to live and what your ends will be, destruction and plight and, you know, utter non-existence and other rubbish, he says. I think this is pretty healthy stuff to think about because that's where my expectation is. That's where my hope is, in the one who is lovely, that's made me lovely because of his blood. And one day I'll live with him there forever. And the ones who I've loved and accepted him are there waiting, hallelujah, and a part of a cloud of witness. Matthew 6, 19 through 21, it talks about the treasure is in heaven. Lay up for yourself treasure that's in heaven. You know you got treasure waiting for you in heaven. The acts and points of obedience that you've done. It says, though, it depends on our hearts. If we want our treasure to be on earth, if we want to just focus on earthly things, that can be your treasure. That's not much of a treasure. I want to think about all those souls. I want to win to Christ and make disciples and take treasure with me. Take them and lay them down before the feet of my Savior and say, there's the crowns for your glory. All these people that I've influenced, impacted, and brought in. Some kicking and screaming, but they calmed down when the blood covered them and they got the new mind of Christ. John 14:6. We'll come to that later. Says in Revelation 21, he will wipe away every tear. Hallelujah. No tears in heaven. From their eyes, and death shall be no more. There nobody dies in heaven. Neither shall there be mourning. Hallelujah. There's no crying. There's no pain anymore. For the former things have passed away. Revelation 21 says there's no need of night. It's daytime all the time, everybody. Read it. Revelation 21, 22. There's no need for lamps or lights because Jesus himself is the light in heaven. The glory of God that emits off God. Hallelujah. And he rules and reigns forever. And there's no sea in heaven. No sea. Revelation 21, 1. There's no sea in heaven. He'll make a new heaven and a new earth because my God's a creator. And what's he creating in your life? What's he creating out of your life? What circumstance is he allowing for him to be more manifest and create himself deeper and a more sure foundation in our life? Hallelujah. My God is creating Jesus Christ's image into our lives for us to be able to rule and reign with him. Lightning's in heaven. Read Revelation 21. There's thunder still in heaven. Heaven's a very loud place. For all those that like it quiet, you got a rude awakening if you never visited. There's seven spirits of the Lord that are there, seven burning torches. It says which are the seven spirits of the Lord found in Isaiah 11, 2 and 3. Revelation 22, there's only one tree. In the Garden of Eden, there was a tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. But in Revelation 22, there's only one tree, hallelujah, ever remaining, the tree of life. Ezekiel sees things in heaven. For those that think it's just angels, there's just God, and there's a devil, and he has, you know, a short time for a throne in the second heaven and wreak havoc here and there a little bit. There's a lot more to God's design and plan. And these things, can I say, fight on the behalf of the believers. These guys are on our side. You ever seen, you know, a six-winged, four-faced being? I have, and I can tell you, I couldn't get to a toilet quick enough. The unveiled glory, when he unveils, it says you will entertain angels unaware. If he shrouds the glory, you can take that to the bank. How many have ever raised your hand, felt like, or you know for a fact, you've had an angelic encounter that you know, after the fact, you're like, that had to be an angel. They disappeared, they helped you, or whatever. Look at that. Look at all those wing nuts. Because you're believing, because he encounters our daily routine, our journey, to prove his reality. Well, there's a vision of a man on a throne in Ezekiel chapter 1. You can read about it in Revelation. John has the same, you know, type of encounter, seeing God on the throne. But in Ezekiel 1, verse 4, he talks about the whirlwind and the fire and the glory. He talks about the many-eyed ones. The wheels within a wheel. They're called Ophan in the Hebrew. Ophan. O-F-A-W-N. Found in Ezekiel 1, 3 and 10. It says that they, you know, these beings, these the living creatures have four faces and four wings. Verse 6. They have feet. They're straight legs, but they have calf's feet. Talks about they have hands that are under the wings, so they must have hands if it says hands. And their face is one, you know, like a man, like an ox, like a lion, like an eagle. And they fight. They're, you know, they're there on our behalf. They're on our side. Hallelujah. Four-faced thing. I want it on my side. I'll be against that thing. You got to be kidding me. What are you, nuts? Born at night, but it wasn't last night, JoJo. It says we give us the full armor of God. Ephesians 6, 12 through 20. And what do? We fight spiritual forces, not flesh and blood. We got to remember that. In Isaiah 63, 9, it says there's the angel of his presence in heaven. The name is Panin in the Hebrew. Panin. There's the angel of Yahweh. It's mentioned in Exodus 14, 19. There's an archangel. There's a type of archangel. Lucifer was an archangel. Michael and Gabriel are archangels. You can read about it in Ezekiel 28. The guardians are the guards of the sanctuaries of heaven. There's angels called cherubim. Ezekiel 9, 1 through 11, read about them. There's at least six of them mentioned. But they have four wings, four faces, and they make noise, a big noise, on either side of God's throne. There are seraphim angels that are Isaiah 6. They have six wings, four faces, and they guard the throne. Moloch is the word for angel. And God wants us to pray to him and ask him to release or to send his angels in our daily routine. It's a good prayer. You don't pray to an angel. Scripture's very clear. But I pray to God to send the angels. The word is Moloch. They're messengers. Psalm 103:20. Read about it. The hosts of heaven, which we talked about. There's things in heaven that aren't even defined. Tesabah is the Hebrew. Psalm 103:21. Heaven is crowded. It's not sparse. You know, you don't hear a lot of echoes. It talks about in John 5, if you want to talk about heaven invading earth, and I ask the Lord, please, Lord, let there be angelic ministry around my life. You say, is that scriptural? Well, Jesus had angelic ministry when he walked on the face of the earth. You read John 5. We got a guy that's not been able to get into the water that's stirred by what? An angel. How long is he there? 38 years. And he can't get in the water quick enough to get his healing, because all those who went in the water first, when the angel came at a certain time, and it says a multitude of people are there. Johnny come lately there is 38 years late. You talk about depression, discouragement. And the angel's the one stirring the water during Jesus' ministry. There's still angel ministering while Jesus is ministering. Do you know angels are going to come back with Jesus? Do you know angels heralded his coming? You know angels are going to blow trump. There's a trumpet. Ba-ba! And he's going to return. Guess who blows that sucker? It ain't God, it's an angel. Angels ministered to Jesus while he was fighting Satan afterward. They ministered and attended to him. You read Matthew 4. Sometimes I think, you know, we're just scared for scared's sake. I think we haven't really stopped to research ourselves. I'm trying to give you biblical information so your perception will change and your behavior will change this morning. That your hope will be placed in something greater and bigger than just our normal scheduled program. Because I got news for you. Without the heavenly invention, you know, intervention, without God really showing and demarcating my day, life is pretty dull. You got to be kidding. This is all there is. Some buildings, some cars, a few, you know, garments, you know, some facial growth. Right? And by the way, before you make comment, I have permission and she likes it. So you can talk to the Department of Complaints right over there. Put that in your pipe and smoke it. Okay. I didn't hear that, but... And this is what Jesus said, take up your bed and walk, follow me. He says, you know, just immediately it says the man was made whole. You know, God wants to make us whole. He wants to make you a whole minister. You know, the Bible says that you are now competent, able ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's exactly why we started Mount Collective, because we want a whole body of people, not just Flame Tree, but well beyond the borders in this area and beyond, to become whole, the whole ministry of Jesus, you know, us learning from, but being, you know, equipped to be trained to do what we're called to do on earth, but to set us up for the heavenly eternal calling that's yours as well. We think so finite. What if God says, you know, you're going to rule and reign with me, and he's setting you up to go through some stuff here, but it refines what's in my heart because the heavenly invasion of his presence changed me to be more like him. So then I don't waste time when my time's done on earth. And he says, you know what? Here's a whole bunch of creation I want you to go rule and reign over. So much more than a Looney Tune cartoon image of just getting wings and flying away. And our perception of what God's called us to. God wants to invade earth with his love and his presence. And the Holy Spirit's demonstrated power. He wants us to realize and to release the fire of the living God that dwells within your mortal being right here. Dwells right in here. And he wants us to release the anointing, Christ, the anointed one, into the lives of people around us who have no access, they don't have the ability or the awareness that they too can live like that. Amen. That's why Pakistan, that's why Philippines, that's why Fiji, that's why Mumbai, that's why Caloundra, that's why Queensland, yes. That's why, you know, we go to New Zealand, that's why we go to Japan. It's to release what is not of us or from us, it's from him that lives within us. Hallelujah. To be distributors. We're never called to be manufacturers. We're called to distribute what God has given us. God wants us to encourage ourselves in the holy faith this morning, to allow ourselves, man, it's going to be an amazing day, and I want to think about those things. And thank God, and I appreciate it so much, that God has given me several encounters to see into the spirit world, to actually the realm of the spirit, to see angelic being, to be taken to a heavenly experience more than once. Praise God. So I can encourage you. It's real, everybody. I can tell you today, as much as I'm standing here in front of you, you can come and touch me. I'm telling you, it is real. It's more real than you're sitting on. It is real. He is real. What I'm talking about is real. I have tasted and seen. It is real. And greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. We are on the winning side. We cannot be defeated. Hallelujah. Cancer is nothing to the name of Christ. And every other nameable or unnameable condition, we win. You are blood-bought servants of the living God if you received him today. If you haven't, today is the day of salvation, like I mentioned. If you want to get saved today, if you want to ask Jesus Christ into your heart to make him Lord, how do you do that? Simple prayer. There's no formula in there. It's just out of here saying, I need forgiveness. I need Jesus today. I need him to be my Lord. Yes. If that's you this morning, when we ask for prayer, just come to my left. Come right up. There'll be elders here, people to pray with you. There's lead you through an amazing, life-changing prayer. We have prophetic ministry. If you want to hear the word of the Lord for your life, it's good. It says, despise not prophecy. That means we must be able to despise it. We don't want to despise it. We want to ask the Lord, do you have something to say to me? He wants to speak to you directly, but he uses others. You can read 1 Corinthians 12, 1 Corinthians 14 about that. We want to allow the Lord to minister to you today. If you've not received Jesus, please do so. If you have and it's grown cold, you got it on autopilot. You know what I mean? You're just cruising through. You're not hot after God. Today, rededicate your life. You know, let's let the Lord deliver you from any backsliding, any complacency, any laziness or lethargy. Today, let's think about heavenly things. Let's think about his word, the sure foundation for our life. Let's fall deeper in love with Jesus and receive the drawing of his heart. Lord, I just praise you and thank you. You are God. There is no other. We love you. We bless you. We ask, Lord God, you would continue to encourage our spirits in your name. In Jesus' name, amen.